right, I haven't done a truck talk in a while. I could talk about this. I just left a recording session with an up-and-coming country band. Now, I know a lot of the people who are members of the Fiddle Jam Institute lean more toward the beginners end of things, and definitely novice. And doing recording sessions for country bands is definitely more advanced stuff. But some of the concepts that I had to deal with tonight are applicable to just about every situation when you play music. For one, how did I prepare for this? Well, the producer of this local band sent me rough mixes of the tracks by email, MP3 tracks, and a couple of them had distant vocals. I could hear a little bit was going on. A couple of them didn't have any vocals on them, so I wasn't sure what the vocal track would be doing or whether I'd compliment it or not. So I left a little up in the air. So what I did is I charted them out quickly, just did a quick chord chart. I listened in the headphones and stopped and started the recording as needed to kind of write out a quick chord chart with any kicks I would notate. You know, the drums had to be, if there's something to hit on the end of three, I would notate at least that. So I'd give myself a heads up. I didn't write out every rhythm or anything like that, just wrote measure, bar lines with chords for the most part. I just gave myself cues of anything that was in particular I might want to grab or think that the producer might want me to grab with the band. And that's it. It was four tunes, and I went there prepared with that. I didn't listen to them massively. I didn't practice them a lot. I realized that two of them, the guitars had tuned down a half step, which is very common for guitars, and it would have been in very awkward keys to do the fiddling kind of country fiddle stuff. Now, it's not bluegrass country. This is modern country. It's pretty much a 90s rock band with some fiddle and pedal steel added. So today's modern country. Band is very heavy guitars, so I decided to tune down a half step for those two songs as well, which I love to do. Well, that could be a whole other truck talk in itself. I may have talked about this in other truck talks. My acoustic fiddle loves to tune down about a half step, as is historically known standard pitch, which today is A equaling 440 times a second, was lower back in the late 1600s, when the Stradivari standard, the size and shape and design of today's violins was being designed, and Stradivari designed it to sync well with that lower pitched strings, slightly lower, it's a half step, about a half step. So you tune down your fiddle a half step and it kind of comes alive, which is makes me wonder what standard pitch should be, because that's a whole other subject, and I have talked about that, I think, on Truck Talks. But, so I love tuning down, it was no problem at all. I have my Nidling tuners in there, just crank them down a little bit and get out the electronic tuner to make sure they're in tune, half step down. So that's one thing I did, and I did the two songs that I suggested doing the two songs that were in that tuning first, so that I got to keep it in tune rather than spending time to tune and have the instrument, the strings settle in. So that was one thing I did, but you get the lay of the land on an emotional and, I guess, professional, in this case, standpoint. Is who's in charge, who's there, how many people are listening, how many people matter, how much do I feel I can give input, are they looking for my input, are they looking for me just to do what they tell me, are they open to suggestion? These are all things you can do, not just in a professional recording studio, but even at a local picking party. Like, who is the main person, and who is kind of the leader, the most talented? You can kind of tell. And look to them, get eye contact with them. Be honest about yourself and your skills. Am I on par with them? Am I just as good? Can I step up? Do I get nervous? Do I get self-conscious? The recording studio is no place to be self-conscious if they're paying you to play well. Pretty much beyond that, which is nice. I just try to play sort of like I don't care a little bit. Try and play as loose and relaxed as if I was in my own bedroom. And take suggestion and give suggestion in this case. And that's, they weren't exactly sure, the producer wasn't exactly sure where the fiddle, what he wanted He only knew that in one song he wanted me to rip a solo. This particular song had some specific lines I noticed the guitar had played in the intro and part of an outro and leading into the guitar solo. So I learned those lines. It was this bluesy riff. I'm all about the bluesy stuff. And it was in the key of D, using D blues, tuned down a half step. So I learned all the tricks. I learned how to write them out. And tried to play them as if I was a rock guitarist with the appropriate squeal. There's lessons on the site about the harmonic squeal feedback technique. You end up sounding like an electric guitar even though you're not plugged in. And I was not plugged in. They had a microphone there waiting for me, a Neumann, nice microphone. They also suggested I could bring my own microphone, which I like. I use my favorite at home is a Studio Project C1 microphone. It's a large diaphragm microphone. I've used this microphone for many recordings with my acoustic violin, including all the Bob Eak recordings. It sounds nice and sweet and full and rich. So they ended up blending the two together, and the producer will choose later. Now, another thing I could say about recording sessions is in this one, especially in the new digital age, they may not need you to just nail one take. Some producers might know exactly what they want and just ask you for that, and the pressure's on to do a good solo and do good backing tracks when the singer's singing. But in this case, they weren't exactly sure on most of the songs, so he'd have me run a take just with doing whatever I could think of that might be supportive to the track, which is kind of boring a little bit. But I tried to pick up on ideas from the guitar and the drums and add things that I thought in my mind's ear, you're like your mind's eye, but your mind's ear, what might sound good on the finished product, which you don't know what it is yet. And I just kind of forged forward confidently, knowing that it's not a big deal. In the old days, the tape was rolling and you could only do one track. If you had to do another one, you had to erase the first one. Now it's non-destructive editing. You can record as many takes as you want, or as many as they want, to exhaust the vibe. And then it's up to the editors after to choose which parts and which measures of what you played, if they want to use it or not, and mix them all together, mix and match. That's a job I don't like to do. Editing takes forever. It's very tedious. If they're willing to do that, I'll play parts over that same song all night if I have to, as long as they're paying. So, the MO for these songs is I did, like I said, a kind of a supportive track, nice and easy, through once, and he said, do that again, I think you're on the right vibe, here, you can play a little more busy here. He had some suggestions, and I looked at my chart and knew where those areas were, and helped to have the chart, which is on a music stand in front of me. And, we ran two or three things like that. And I might have some suggestions. I think the song could use this here. Like, I could grab that guitar riff with the guitar. He goes, great, let's do a track of that. It might just be one section we do a few times until it was right and had the good feel for them, and he was satisfied. Okay, then we did that. Maybe I muffed the ending. I didn't catch this rhythmic ending with the guitars and drums at first. So we went by and did a few takes of that until it was right. So things don't have to be perfect in a recording studio these days. You can go in and edit whatever you want. It's just important that you play in time and in rhythm when they are recording you. That way it's a lot easier for them to use it. And even if you play out of time, it's possible to go in and edit it, but you don't want to have them be laboring over your part if it's a modern country record and it's all really about the guitars, the drums, and the singing, really. Rolling their eyes, this damn fiddle player, you have to fix all his parts, we're not calling him again. You want to nail it the best you can. So that's the approach now. In a couple of the songs, they wanted me to take a ripping lead. They had a section, I wasn't even sure where it was by the demo, but I had kind of mapped it out what I thought was a verse, chorus, and a bridge. By my experience, I kind of figure out what the parts of the song are and just guess. And then he said, and that bridge, that's where the guitar solo is, or let's try a fiddle solo. So you know they have a guitar solo probably in the can that they might use, so you don't have anything to lose. Just kind of go for it. And if your solo is better than the guitar solo and they choose that, great, makes you shine. So did I only take one take? No. He said, I think you're on the right track. Come out of the solo and catch this kick with the drums. It takes a few times to work on those things. and okay, do another one and give me a little more. Go crazier, you know, they might suggest. All right, you know, I can do that. I'm used to going crazy. Come from the jazz fusion thing where it was all about the solo, so it's okay for me. And I would just try to listen inside the best I could, what I wanted to play, play that, play what I could imagine I'd like to hear to that track. Simple as that. Standing a couple feet from a microphone or two. It's up to them which microphone they use, where they blend them together. That's how modern recordings work. Simple as that. This wasn't a glorified, you know, high dollar studio. It was kind of a bit of a homemade studio, actually. But that doesn't even matter these days either, because anybody can record a hit song on their laptop or almost their iPad or phone these days, where the equipment is. So I just want to give everybody a little heads up on how this stuff works and how it might influence you to just be able to step up, know the lay of the land when you're just going to a picking party, or if you're going to sit in with a band or play at a coffee house. You know, kind of have respect for the hierarchy of what's important in music. What's important is the vocal. Sorry, it's not the fiddle. Fiddle is pretty high up there. But other than that, it's the groove, the rhythmic groove. Does this have a good feel? Other than that, it's the lyric, of course. So don't get in the way of the lyrics. Listen to the lyric, and if it's singing about something sad, try to play something that supports sad. If it's supporting something sexy, try to play something that's sexy and exciting. And don't run all over the top of the vocal. See if you can interject stuff in between the vocal. As, like I said, in a couple of these songs, there was no vocal for me to hear. That's not my problem. That's their problem. So they're paying me to play. If they weren't prepared with the vocal track, at least a trace track, which means, you know, the singer will just kind of sing loosely a track they might not keep, just so they keep their place in the song. They listen to it while they work. Couple songs that didn't have that, the singer hadn't done it yet. So it's like, okay, just do your best. And not feel super ownership about it or disappointed. It's like, that's their problem. If it doesn't fit, you know, they paid me. Not to be super selfish about it, but that's the way it works sometimes. Some producers and some people will expect you to know exactly what to do and tell you exactly what they want. Not always is that the case. So, and if you're sitting in a coffee house, don't run over the top of the vocal. Interject in between. Be a pleasant person. Be amiable to suggestion. Don't get huffy and egotistical if somebody says they'd like you to do something a little different in the next song. At the end of the world, it's not about you. It's about them and their song. So give them that. Serve them that. The more service we are to others and service to the song itself, the main piece of creation, the better everything goes, the better everyone feels, including you and the other music makers and the audience, who will, in my experience, bountifully respond if you're in the vibe, on the wave, on the universal wave, whatever the universe is telling you to play. Try and hear that, try and play that, try and be that. So that's my little rant, a little session, maybe a little truck talk about what it's like to be in a recording studio that I just left on a professional level. And maybe you can chew on that and see if there's things that are applicable to you if you get in a recording studio. And also, if you just apply the same things to find the lay of the land, whether you're playing with a symphony orchestra, you got to see who's in boss, who's the boss quick, is the conductor any good, is he confident, do I need to suggest things to him, will he be offended, is he an egomaniac, he'll take offense if I suggest something. You got to figure it out quick. It comes with experience, life experience often, and not just musicianship. Use all the skills you have in life and in music to do the best job you can in every circumstance you may find yourself in. All right, that's it for now. Next time.